Chapter 2. Alice. My heart pounds in time with the soft thuds of my feet on the carpet as I pace to the edge of the stage, back to the lectern, and to the other side. "It's easy to believe that these things will never happen to you," I say, allowing myself to take a deep breath and letting it out slowly before I speak again. "But no one ever believes it'll happen to them. And yet, statistics prove that it does happen. Not to everyone, but complacency could be the difference between life and death in the event of an emergency. This isn't about being pessimistic. It's about being prepared." I click the button on the remote and glance behind me to check that the screen has changed. My shoulders relax just a little. This is the penultimate slide, the one before my contact details. I'm almost done, and then I can sit down and take off my damn shoes. When I put them on in my office, they gave me a surge of confidence, as they always do. They're the kind of shoes that almost make me believe I'm the expert I claim to be. It's silly to get assurance from accessories, I know that. But it would be even sillier to get up here without doing what I need to do to look and feel authoritative. Curl my hair, wear a brand new blazer, put on my power heels. It's not about vanity, it's about being professional. The boost from the shoes was predictably short-lived, though, and the feeling that I was out of my depth returned almost as soon as I introduced myself. And, to add insult to imposter syndrome, the shoes are now practically shredding the skin on my toes. "Preparedness is key," I continue, wincing as I put my weight on my left foot. I'm pretty sure my big toe is bleeding into the expensive yellow leather. "Which is why, during Safety Week, we'll be conducting a series of drills and emergency scenarios for both you and the students to participate in." The groan I've been expecting ripples around the room, right on cue. I laugh lightly, undeterred by their lack of enthusiasm. "I appreciate that this means your lectures will be disrupted, but I can assure you that we're aiming to minimize any inconvenience. At the end of the day, my job is to keep you safe, and if doing so means a few interruptions, that's a consequence I'm willing to live with. And I hope you are too. In the packs you've been given today, you'll find the schedule, as well as some basic details of each of the drills, and reminders of the procedures and locations we've gone over here today. I'd appreciate it if you'd keep this information to yourselves and not give the students any warning. Drills are much more effective if they're unexpected, and in the real world, emergencies don't come with a timeline." I'd been hoping for some kind of reaction. If not a laugh, then maybe just a sympathetic chuckle. But the room is completely silent. Tough crowd. "If you have any questions," I say, changing the topic quickly, "feel free to get in touch." My email address and work phone number appear on the screen as I press the button on the remote control again. I glance at my watch. "We still have 5 minutes. I can take some questions now if anyone has anything burning." I expect the staff will avoid questions in order to claw those 5 minutes back, but I give them a few seconds just in case. As I wait, I look around, peering at the faces of the audience members in the rows closest to me. A few are familiar, many aren't. My gaze travels back to the furthest rows. Everyone looks bored. One guy at the back might actually be asleep. I can't be sure because his face is hidden by his dark hood, and he's slouched over, showing no signs that he's listening. Or, in fact, living. I sigh. Trying to engage people in safety procedures is probably the most challenging and definitely the least rewarding part of my job. But it's essential, whether they can see it or not. I clap my hands together. "Okay," I say. "No questions then. Thank you all for your time, and I look forward to working with you during Safety Week." There's a collective shuffling, a gathering of bags, a sweeping up of folders and phones from the tiny tables at each seat, a low drone of chatter. "My door is always open if you have any safety concerns whatsoever," I call out, but no one is listening anymore, if they ever were. Carefully, I eject my thumb drive from the auditorium's laptop, while the last of my audience files out of the lecture theater. I replay the presentation in my mind, cringing at the things that went wrong, at the words I faltered over. My cheeks burn as I recall the moment where I said risky instead of rescue. It's mortifying, but I remind myself that I'm the only one who'll remember it.
"Miss Dalroy?"